Welcome to Fearless Marketing for Life Coaches. I'm Simone Soul, and I'm here to teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buying Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how.
Welcome to yet another episode of Fearless Marketing for Life Coaches, and I have the exquisite pleasure today of having on my show the great Erica Reitman, my friend and colleague who has the world's most amazing Instagram account. And she is a mentor for new coaches, and she is an Instagram marketing expert. And I'm sure so many of us are dying to know all about how to make Instagram work. So I thought I'd borrow her brain on your behalf. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you so much for having me. I could not be more excited to be here and share everything I know about Instagram and everything else.
Let me just start here. This is probably one of the questions that I get the most about Instagram, which is, I'm laughing just because it's the same question I get about any other platform. If you're having the kind of experience where you feel like you're just like talking into the void, and you don't know who's following you, you don't know what's resonating, you don't know what's reaching people, and it sounds like you're just on one side of the conversation, you're getting nothing back, because I'm guessing that a good portion of my listeners are in those shoes with Instagram. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be?
Well, I do hear this a lot too. So yeah. The first thing I would say is you're not alone if you're feeling this way. I think it's something that we all go through at some point. Even when you see people with large followings, we all started off with zero. You know, nobody gets to skip that hard part in the beginning. And I wish I had a special like jump to the front of the line pass that I could give out to everyone listening.
And to really disappointed. I thought you were going to say, this is my 3-step program.
I know.
Getting 10,000 followers overnight.
Nope, I'm not into any of that stuff. The thing that I share with everyone who I work with is I understand that you want to build your audience. We all want to build our audiences. I think that is something that you will find in common with every single person who uses Instagram to grow their business. But the thing that I see the most, I use this analogy. It's almost as if you are planning this amazingly fantastic dinner party, pre-COVID, of course, and you've sent out these awesome invites, and you've been on Pinterest, like finding the best recipes, and you've got your hot new outfit, and you made a special playlist, and you're so excited for this group of people to come over. And then doorbell starts ringing, everybody comes, they're all sitting around the table, and you're standing out in the driveway with some like janky piece of poster board that says dinner guests wanted. And you've got your dinner guests. They're all sitting around the table so excited to be there with you and chat with you and eat your delicious food. And you're looking for other people to fill up seats around your table. So the first thing I say is before you start getting super focused on building your audience, are you doing the most bomb-ass job you possibly can be doing serving the people who are already there? I don't care if there are 10 of them. Do those 10 people feel like you are showing up every day, excited to be there, share, teach, learn, inspire, do all of that? Once that is sorted, then we can start talking about building your audience, because the truth of the matter is, until you've kind of figured out your vibe and your jam on Instagram and you're really feeling good about the content that you're creating, we can get you 1,000 new followers. They're not going to be there next month. So it's not even worth your time until you've really figured out a way to dial in how you're showing up for the people who are already there, even if there's just a couple of them.
Okay, I'm smiling really big right now because I'm feeling so validated, because the party analogy is the exact one that I said in a way earlier episode of my podcast.
And
that's like literally what I said.
Oh my gosh,
a party, there's people who came to your party and you're like looking out the door being like, why aren't other people here? These people aren't enough. And like, how are your guests going to feel? Like, that's exactly. And I'm like, yes. You know, I'm not a parent and I don't think you are either, but no. You know how it's like your mom is always telling you the same thing. And she's like, and you're like, yeah, 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 whatever. And somebody else tells you the same thing. And you suddenly are like, oh, and your mom is like, that's what I've been telling you the whole time. So I'm the mom and you're like the cool new guest. Who's like telling the kid the same thing and everybody's suddenly going to listen now.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, we are the same person because I have the same exact view.
That's so true. It's so rude to the people who are already at your party for you to be like, well, this just isn't enough people. I don't know where my audience is. It's like, look at the freaking people who are already there.
Right. It's rude. And honestly, it's not effective because
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work if you are not in a place where your content is so friggin' good. People are so excited to show up and hang out with you. It doesn't matter if you add some vanity metric numbers of more people following you.
Right. If you have 8 people at your dinner party, you want like 4 of those people to be calling their friends being like, yo, you got to come to this party.
Yes, exactly. Like,
that happens when you are really present with them, you're loving them, and you are just like having a good, like really showing up for them 100%. So Erica, you're telling me that there's nothing special about Instagram. It's all just about like serving the people who are around you.
Yeah. I mean, look, are there some little hacks and techniques and things that we could talk about? Yes. However, if I had 2 people and one of them was just showing up every day and being their authentic selves and sharing bomb content that was getting people thinking and giving actionable tips and inspiring people and motivating people and connecting with people. And the other person was using all of the hacks and techniques and things that all the Instagram gurus were telling them. I am 100% positive that the first person, I don't know if they're going to have more followers. They're going to have more money in their bank account. And that's what I care about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have like a little over 1,000 people. It was like, I literally don't even know how many people, like way below 2,000 people on Instagram. And I make so much more money than people who have so many more followers than me. So it's
the
money. It's not the followers. And it's not even the number of likes or the comments. Like, it really isn't any of that. And I think that the truth of how effective a business is goes far below like what's obvious in terms of the numbers or even like how pretty your feed is.
Yeah.
Right. That is just a couple of manifestations of the ways in which your business is working. And I think it's so easy to get lost in the superficial stuff and to be making judgments about, oh, this person's business must be like awesome because like, look how beautiful their feed is. Look how many followers they have. And the reason that my business is not working must be because like my feed isn't as pretty and I don't have as many followers. It's just so easy to draw all of the wrong conclusions, right?
Yeah. And to get focused on the wrong things, because again, if you have a gorgeous feed and your content sucks, it's still not going to work.
Okay, let's talk about that. Sorry. So because you said your content, you have to dial in on your content. Your content has to work. So what does that mean?
So depending on what sort of business you have, it can mean different things. I'm guessing most of the people listening are going to also have online coaching businesses.
Yeah.
And for me, what I say all the time is content is currency. That has been true for me. My content literally translates into dollars because that is the time and effort and energy that I put into it. And I think one of the great things as well for us as coaches, depending on what you're talking about, virtually all your content is going to be evergreen. So this isn't necessarily an industry where we're like so tied up in talking about holidays or pop culture things or things like that. You can bring that stuff in. But when you take the time to create content that is valuable for other people, so I always like to really think about how can I, so anytime I create content and it's different for stories and your feed, I always like to think about how can I make this as actionable as possible? Mm-hmm. And so I don't like to share a lot of like theoretical type advice. It's hard for people.
But you are very funny.
Thank you. I do like to add that. Well, that's one of the things too. The first thing I do is I show up as my damn self. And I know authenticity is such a buzzword right now. And it's literally become a marketing technique, which I'm not mad at because I think it's the key to really having a successful business and standing out online. I was doing this way before anyone was talking about it, mostly because I have no self-control and I have really strong opinions. And
how I think about myself. It's like, I just have no filter. I'm not trying to be authentic.
No, like this wasn't some like, you know, baller marketing move I had in my toolbox. I just can't control myself. But that is the thing that I really think at first will set you apart. All of the stuff, the conversations that you're having in your head of like, I wonder if I should say this. I don't want to offend anyone. Anytime you're having that thought, my instinct is to just do it because that's usually the stuff that's going to get people talking and connected to you. But I always like to think through how can I almost like do a double check, almost like, are my shoes tied? You know, is my fly up? Like, how can I make this so valuable for someone? And have I given them actionable steps? I always want people to be able to put down their phone. My feed posts are long. I use 2,200 characters almost every single time I post. And so I have trained my community to understand that, yes, my posts are long, but if you read through that mofo, you're going to get some valuable information. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to be able to put down your phone and go take action if you want to without doing anything else. And so that is something that I'm really always thinking about because I'm in the business of removing roadblocks. I want people in my community to take action. And so everything that I can do to help them move forward, even if it's a teeny tiny bit, I'm all about that.
I love what you said. I'm going to tell you sort of the way I understand that. You can tell me what you think about what I said. But the way I think about it is so many people approach Instagram or even Facebook or whatever content publishing platform as like, I'm just going to like show up and share my wisdom. Like, here's the thing that I think they should know about coaching. Like, here are my thoughts about boundaries and or whatever. They think of it as a place where they show up and teach, which is fine. I'm not saying teaching is bad. Like you should go teach. You have a lot of valuable ideas in your brain. But I also think that where the content becomes really valuable is when it actually inspires someone to go out and do something different in their lives. Because we can all be inspired all day freaking long. You can just like scroll through your feed. Oh, that's so inspiring. Oh, that's so heartwarming. Oh, that's so great. But then actually to put down your phone and just keep doing the same thing you were doing. And so I think what you're saying about getting people to take action is how you make an actual tangible difference in the lives of people who follow you.
Yes.
And when you get enough people actually taking different action, actually creating different results in their lives, that's when you actually become an authority. What are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. And the truth is, look, I make no bones about it. I want to make a lot of money. I want to make millions of dollars. And I use Instagram, and I am going to use Instagram to do that. However, 99% of the people in my audience are never going to spend a dollar with me.
And that's 1% totally is going to make you all your money.
Right. Yeah. And that's totally fine. And that's the way it works for most people. So I am for sure talking to that 1% who I want to invest in me. And that is always another thing that's in the back of my mind because I use my content to sell my stuff and I make no bones about that. However, for the rest of the people who are there, I also want to provide value. I want them to be able to take action. I want them to be able to improve their lives even
without. That's what's going to turn them into your customers eventually.
Yes.
Like 100%. I follow Erica and every time I do something that she tells me to do, my business gets better. Like my life gets better. That's how you quote unquote position yourself as an authority, right? Like it's not through some kind of strategy. It's by actually helping people to take different action in their lives.
Yep. And if they never do, cool. That's good karma. Yeah.
It's good karma. Exactly. I also love what you said about training your people to expect long posts. Because I think so many people try to think of like, what do I say from a sort of thinking sort of pattern of trying to like people please in advance, like trying to fit what you think people will want to hear, as opposed to being like, this is who I am, this is how I write. And one thing that Erica, you and I have in common is that we're both very irreverent, and we have very, we have senses of humor that could be considered
maybe offensive
by some. We both use F-bombs liberally, and yes. And it's just, we train, I actually, it's so funny, Erica, like I have some followers, some, you know, people who really love my work, who are very like devoutly religious, and they're very conservative, and they just like don't abide by all the swearing in your life. And they're like, you know what? I just put up with your swearing because I like your content so much. But if I tried to please them all in advance, I would have to not be myself. But because what I offer is so valuable and I swear a lot, they're going to be like, oh, Simone, I'll just have to forgive you for this one.
Yeah, I love that.
Have so many clients who say, oh, Emma, I think my writing is too long and rambly. I think my writing is too this, too that. Is it too? And it's like, you can train your people to expect consistency from you in terms of who you really are. And if you really are providing something valuable for people, as I see you doing constantly, that really makes them think, that really opens them to a new perspective, that really gets them taking different kinds of action, then it kind of doesn't matter what your aesthetics are, what your style is, you'll just train them to love it.
Yep, 100%. And you won't feel the pressure again. Like, there's no committee you can go in front of to say, well, your content is now officially perfect for Instagram. Keep right. going. Like, you're not getting that stamp of approval from anyone. And when you're focused so much on waiting for that and trying to, you know, like make your stuff look like everyone else's, and you're not sure about your tone and you're not sure if you should say this or that, you're getting in your own way, and you're not going to be able to show up as your authentic self because you're always going to be so deep in your head worrying about what Angry Mom 22 is going to think about what you have to say that day.
You know how I think Facebook is a lot more like you have to be friends with somebody. And so there's a lot more of that one-on-one sort of sense of friendship. It's going both ways. Whereas Instagram is kind of a little bit more unilateral. Like, I get to follow you and I don't even know everybody who's following me. I don't have to give consent for somebody to follow me unless I make my account private, right? So for people who feel like, I'm not really sure, yeah, I have a few dozen friends, maybe a couple hundred friends, maybe even more, but I'm not really sure who's following me and who I should be speaking to. Like, yeah, I see that there are people at my dinner party, but I'm not really sure who they are. How would you advise them?
Well, I would encourage them to just freaking decide who they want to be speaking to.
Love
and
it.
Then only worry about those people. There, I started off as an interior designer. I wasn't a coach. And truthfully, the majority of my audience was built when I was an interior designer. So there are still people in my audience who care nothing about coaching and just really loved when I was posting pretty pictures. I don't ever post pretty pictures anymore, but they like what I have to say and they stick around. I'm not worried about the fact that I used to show up every day and show, you know, client projects and couches that I liked and all sorts of stuff. They are not getting any of that anymore, and they're never going to get it again. And that's okay. I show up and very intentionally speak to the person that I want to reach right now. I want to reach that new coach who's starting out her business and she knows she's meant for bigger things. She wants to build an online empire. She's not screwing around. She's going to get it done. And everyone else can fall away. In fact, I want to repel people. I specifically, not that I try and offend people for no reason whatsoever, but by me showing up as myself and sharing my authentic, very strong, sometimes offensive opinions about things, I know that that is going to turn some people off. And I don't want those people in my audience. I have enough like on my plate dealing with the people that I know should be there and that I want to be there. I'm not concerned about the people who I'm not a fit for. There are so many other amazing people on Instagram, other coaches, other people to follow. They can go find them.
So make a damn decision.
Yes.
And just filter out all the noise where your brain says, yes. Oh, but what about this?
Yes. And when you make a decision, because I know I get annoyed with this whole like, but I'm multi-passionate and I have lots of interests and lots of things. Like, no shit. All of us do. We all have lots of interests. We all love lots of things. You're not taking all of those other things and setting them on fire and burying them in your backyard. They can still be there too. You're just focusing on one of them right now and showing up for your audience in a way that's most effective for them, which is, you know, I was somebody for years, I avoided the niche thing. And I know there's like controversy about it. For me, I don't care what you do or how you make your money. I've just found that it's a lot easier to get focused and talk not about 1,700 different things, but just dial it in and get focused, particularly when you're new and you're really trying to connect with your audience. Once you have built your business and you've seen some success and you've tried different things and you've experimented and you've really kind of, you know, figured out a way that works for you, then we can talk about, again, adding some of this stuff back into your content and maybe, you know, expanding things a bit. I don't care how you make your, if you can make millions and millions of dollars doing it your way, I say do it your way. However, I share what's worked for me, and that's really worked well for me.
I think I love what you said. It's like so cathartic to hear you talk because like everything I want to say, but I'm like kind of holding back. It's like, listen, everybody's freaking multi-passionate, okay? You're not a special snowflake. It's so true. And the thing is, I think a lot of the times people fear niching down is that they make a decision and then they fear that they won't be able to fully self-express. They won't be able to be themselves. They won't really get to connect with people in a way where people get to see their full complexity and their full personality. And I think that's just a thought.
Yes. Right?
Like I have such a, you know, a diverse background, just like you do. You used to be an interior designer. I used to be a hypnotist and a tarot reader and an artist and a writer and all these things. And I feel like right now in my capacity as the business coach for coaches, I get to be like, I bring my woo. Right? Like I talk about my woo things and how to apply it to business coaching. And I bring my personality, my opinions, and my creativity. And it just seeps through everything I do as a business coach. So even if you niche down, it doesn't mean you have to sound and look like all the other coaches in that niche. You can Right. really be in your niche and shine as the multi-passionate person you are while serving a specific audience.
Yes, 100%. And these things, again, it's like, I will admit, when I had wanted to be an interior designer for so long, it was like such a crazy fantasy of mine. I never thought I'd be able to make it work. And then I did. And I reached a point where I wanted to shift again and become a coach. And it felt like, at first, a gigantic failure. Like, I wanted to do this thing. I created this whole business. I created this whole life. And now I'm just going to leave it and not do it? Like, what does that say about me? And I realized I don't need to be called an interior designer. I don't need to have a business card that says interior designer in order to have this thing in my life. I still get to decorate my house. We moved to Mexico. I had a new house here. I've been having so much fun decorating it. I have a friend that has a hotel in town. I was helping him out. Like, there's so many ways to keep these things in your life.
And I see it in your feed because your feed is so creative. It doesn't look like all the other influencer feeds, and it's just your sense of aesthetics. It just, and your personality just shines through.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think sometimes it feels like we have to take this, you know, these other things that we might love or we're passionate about and throw them in the garbage. And that's not what we're saying at all. It's more bring them into what you're doing in your own unique way.
Yes. Yes. If you want to be a weight loss coach for moms, you could be like, oh my God, there's like a billion weight loss coaches for moms. You can be the weight loss coach for moms who also like is passionate about architecture and like cats or whatever. Like, that's what's going to make you unique. And that the uniqueness will shine through when you just have the courage to stick with your fucking niche.
Yes. 100%. Yes.
Yeah, that is if you are just literally starting out and you don't know which way is up and you're just flailing, I say, you know, go out and serve as many people as possible, like talk to as many people as possible. You don't have to like conjure a niche out of thin air when you like literally don't, if you don't feel like you have any sense of like if you just haven't logged enough hours coaching. Like, what's your take on that?
I mean, I totally agree. I almost feel like it's one of those decisions and I've been there, so yeah. I really do understand it. That feels so important.
Yes, existentially important.
Yes. And honestly, for me, I remember feeling that way in college when I was choosing my major.
What's my major? And it turns out,
nobody cares. Life-shifting, altering things were going to happen if I made the wrong decision. When looking back, it's like, Again, I was waiting to go in front of a committee and have them stamp, yes, good decision.
This is the correct major for you.
Right. I mean, unless you're going to be a doctor or...
If you're going to be a doctor, it does kind of doesn't matter what you... Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the hell you study or choose for your major. And it's kind of the... I know it feels so crazy for anyone going through it, because it really does feel like one of those mind-shifting type decisions that's going to change the entire structure of your life from here on in. I started off when I was a coach just coaching interior designers.
Yeah.
That's what I knew. That's what I was doing. Most people in my life now have no freaking clue that that's what I was doing, nor would they care.
Yeah.
Because now I'm showing up in a different way.
Yeah.
People want help. People want you to solve their problems. They don't really care what came before all of that. If you can help them now, if you can be of value to them now, if you can create offers now that help them move forward and figure things out and make progress in their own lives, it doesn't matter what you did before. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter what you do tomorrow. All of this be switched up, and you are the one. I mean, I think that's something too. For those of us who used to work in corporate America, our brain is not used to working like this. We're not used to making these sorts of decisions because we were always told what to do.
There was a committee.
Yes, there was a committee. And if you ever came in front of that committee with an idea, regularly you were likely told, no, that's a dumb idea.
Right.
Don't come up with any more. We're busy.
Right.
So even like
just do what you're told.
Just do what you're told. We do things a certain way here. Even though that way is really dumb, we're going to continue doing it. That's how we've always done it. And so even just getting your brain used to this idea that wow, this is my business. I could show up however I want. I could create programs however I want. This is something I've been talking a lot about. I did a masterclass recently on creating your offer. And I even find for myself, sometimes I'm creating an offer and I'm realizing wait, I'm just creating an offer that looks like everybody else's, but I don't want to do stuff like everyone else. I don't need to do it that way. I can make up my own stuff, which is what I did with this recent program that I had. I came up with an idea of how I wanted to do it. And I created this all-in offer where instead of a self-study portion of the course, you come with me every day on Zoom for a week and I teach you this course so you know you're getting through it. And I came up with this idea because I've had the experience so often of buying a course and not getting through it and wishing that I had somebody that was holding my hand the whole time. I'm sure other people out there have done this. I haven't seen it. I just came up with the idea one day. And then I tried it. And that, I think, is the most amazing thing about this world that we're living in now and this ability to have a business where we get to make all of these decisions and come up with these ideas and try things in a way that most of us were never able to do when we were working for someone else. And it's fun. It's really fun.
I think the idea that you really can create whatever kind of business you want, you can create whatever you offer you want. It's almost too much freedom. Our brains seize up what am I supposed to do with that? Right. Yeah. But I think it really starts with making a decision, right? When your brain likes to pretend that it's very dramatic and it's very permanent and very important. It's I'm going to make a decision today. And even if I end up changing it next month, the change that I make next month is going to be so much better informed. It's going to be so much more useful because I made the decision that I made today and this month.
Yes.
Right. If you'd never gotten started as a coach for interior designers, you wouldn't be where you are today. You just made decisions every step of the way.
Exactly.
So just pick something and decide to love it today.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And we'll see what's, going on for you in 6 months and we can
reevaluate. And just be willing to evaluate and learn. Totally. Okay. So I can't not ask you, because you're an Instagram expert, What about hashtags?
Yeah, okay.
You're such a bitch.
No. Hashtags are my least favorite topic. I hate hashtags. I just was creating a portion in my new program on hashtags, and the whole time I'm like, you can't see my face right now, but I'm making like a really grumpy, angry face the whole time that I'm doing it. Here's the thing. Hashtags can be a valuable tool to use, and I do use them. You're allowed to use 30 hashtags for every post, and I typically do that. The problem for me with hashtags is that it's just one tool in your toolbox. And it's very easy to get obsessed with hashtags. And I need the right hashtags. And this combination isn't right here. And what if I use the wrong one there? And what if my hashtag gets banned? And to me, it takes the focus away again from just creating bomb content all the time. Hashtags can be a helpful tool for you. But again, if your content is not connecting with people, if you're not taking the time to really put in the effort and move the needle for people in your community, hashtags aren't going to do it for you.
So what I hear you, correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing you say is that hashtags are a thing that does things, could be useful. And in the list of things that you as a coach who's trying to make it work on Instagram, the list of things for you to worry about, it ranks low.
Yeah, I really do think it does. I think, again, it's not that I don't want people to use hashtags. I think you can, and I think that you should. But yes, it's low on my list of priorities. And if the choice is, I'm going to take an hour and write an incredible post, or I'm going to take an hour and do crazy hashtag research, I'd rather you write the incredible post.
100%, or even just spend an hour like doing some high quality thinking.
Yeah.
Right? About how to better serve your people and how to like enjoy the party that you have going on now and making strong decisions about what you stand for and what kind of change you want people to have. Like all of that time spent is going to be more useful than the hashtag stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather you just find 5 competitors, see what hashtags they're using, and copy them.
Yeah, that's fine, right?
Totally fine. I mean, I might move them around a little bit. Yeah. And you have to experiment too. I mean, you can click on view insights on every post and see how many people came from those hashtags that you're using. If you have a group of 30 that's working really well for you, okay. If you have a group that's not, maybe time to like adjust a bit. But I think it's totally fine to do stuff like that. We all do stuff like that.
Yeah. So just if you want to think about it, just earmark a tiny portion of your time, just kind of like strategizing around it, but a tiny portion, and whatever results you have, like the hashtags are responsible for a tiny portion of your results. The rest of it is going to come from the quality of your thinking.
Yes.
And connections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's another thing I want to ask you. This is something I used to worry about a lot when I was earlier in my journey about like how to really like form relationships and like find community on Instagram. Because again, it's like different from some other platforms in that, you know, it can feel one-sided. And I love what you said about just deciding who your people are. But like, you know, there's tons of awful advice. I think we'll both agree that it's awful out there where it's like, oh, just a slide into somebody's DMs. And, you know, so that's terrible garbage advice. So if we're not doing that, how do you really get a sense of like meeting actual human beings and creating genuine connections that just goes, you know, a little bit deeper than the surface?
Well, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes, Instagram really is itself a community. And so I think for me...
So you're telling me I haven't thought about it? That's not...
Yes.
Okay. I love it.
It can feel, and I know I've been there, it can feel... You know, particularly if you're at the beginning stages of your business and maybe you're not as familiar with Instagram, there are so many variables that could just start to feel overwhelming. Mm. But that's when I like to take it back to the basics of if I was hanging out right now. And so this is why this for me just penetrates every area of Instagram. I like to show up and talk like I'm talking to you right now. If we were out to lunch, I'm going to be saying the same things to you that I am in my Instagram post. That is what feels good for me. my posts and the way I communicate there don't feel very like dogmatic and, you know, like I'm standing up on a stage lecturing to people because right. that's not me. And so just by taking the step of showing up as your genuine self and giving out your opinions and not being afraid to say what's on your mind, I think you're going to immediately start connecting with more people than you likely are right now. If you are in that place of like, I'm not sure if I should say it, or I don't want to offend anyone. So that is the first step. But then just treating every single person, I mean, I still do this and I have a larger community. And so it takes a lot of time, like dealing with my DMs every day can sometimes take hours. Like yeah. I gotta be real about that. I, you know, when I see people say like, spend 15 minutes a day and grow your Instagram, every single, this is the thing when you start thinking about it, people spending time liking your posts, that takes absolutely really no time or effort.
Right.
I like posts all the time that I don't really like. I just yeah. do it. Taking the time to leave a comment, yes, that's more thoughtful and it takes some more time. Somebody sending you a DM, that is like when you take a step back and think about it, with all of the stuff that we all have going on in our lives and all of the distractions and all of the things always that are on our to-do list and that we're worried about, some person taking the time, even if it's an emoji or even if it's just a few words, to reach out to you in that way is so major in yeah. today's day and age. And so I do, for me, it has been worth it to spend the time in my DMs connecting with people. Not like somebody sends me a DM and I immediately write back like, guess what? I have a program right now called Instagram Coach Camp. Because that's not how I talk to people at a party, at a right. dinner party. It's just
you
not-
say, hey, what's up? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I, even if you want to use DMs as a place to sell your stuff, which I highly recommend that you do because it's a very effective place to do that. For me, it is 100% at first always about building relationships and getting to know people. And even if I'm DMing somebody for the first time, I'm going to tell them that their cat is cute or that like I'm obsessed with their shoes or all genuine things. I'm not making stuff up, but I'm going to go first and build that relationship. I'm so sorry if you hear that bell. This is how garbage works here in Mexico.
I love it.
To let you know.
We can all feel like we're there with you. I can hardly hear it.
It's time to bring out the garbage.
Yeah, no, I love the way you think about your relationships with people because it's not just like disembodied like avatars on Instagram. It's you think about the actual human beings reaching out to you and taking the time out of their day to tell you whatever. And you genuinely like wanting to connect with them because, hello, if you were at a party and there was somebody saying hi to you, you would want to talk to them. So I love that approach to it. And I think when you really think about the human connection, it becomes so much more easier. It's like for me, it's been so much easier to show up and really have the conversations and connect. Whereas if you think about it more like, you know, I think some other, you know, marketing experts out there treat it more like, you know, if you put in this many, you know, minutes a day, and if you DM this many people a day, then you're going to get the, you know, get the results you want. But I just like the way you described it so much better. And that's where those connections are going to come from. And so if you're starting out, if you're not necessarily having tons of people DM you all the time, then what's a good way to utilize the DM function?
So I have gotten a lot more focused in the last 6 months to a year on reaching out myself to people and not just waiting for people to show up on my doorstep. I think especially had I done this in the beginning, I think I would have been much more effective at building that like really tight-knit community of people who were my ideal clients. And so what that looks like is there's so many different things you could do. For example, I was listening to a podcast the other day and someone was being interviewed on the podcast. And as I was listening, I was having like all of these aha moments. And so normally when I do that, I might like go write a couple of notes down. Maybe I'd follow the person. I made the extra effort to send this person a couple of voice messages and just say, I was listening to your interview on XYZ podcast. I just have to tell you, I had so many thoughts. I was listening in the shower. I had all of these aha moments. I came up with this amazing idea because of what you said. It really resonated with me. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that because it really impacted me today. Mm. Now, will you always get a response when you do things like that? Absolutely not. But that's not why I'm doing it. I am making the effort to share with somebody how what they did affected me and inspired me. And if I never hear a response back and I do this 100 times, it still would be worth it to me.
So I love that. Because it's like you can reach out to people, but do it out of like genuine appreciation and without like an expectation of this is what I want to get back. I think that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And I think when I get messages from people that I don't already know, I'm always like scanning. I just realized this as I was listening to you talk. I'm unconsciously scanning for like, are they trying to sell me something? They want something from me, right? When I get the feeling that no, it really just is genuine human to human like contact appreciation, then I like my heart is like open and I'm like, yes, I want to connect with you, right? So if you're the one sending the message, like always being in that spirit of like, you know, like unattached spirit of giving and sharing and showing appreciation, I think that can never go wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think people, like, I think that's one of the things, this whole idea of authenticity, I think is so interesting because people do, they're very clever now. Like at the beginning stages of all of these like guru level marketing techniques, people were not as savvy back then, and they might not have realized all of these different ways that we're all trying to sell to them. And again, I make no bones about it. I sell every day, whether I'm selling a program or I'm trying to get you on my email list, or I want you to DM me and we could start building relationships there. I intentionally show up and sell every single day. If there are people in my community who don't dig that, cool, bye.
Right.
You can go hang out with somebody who does not do that. Right. This is a whole other side topic, but I really do think there's oddly this different set of rules for people who have online businesses that don't exist anywhere else out in the world.
Yeah.
You don't ever, like, nobody has a problem. Like, Whole Foods is open every day.
Yeah.
People go in there and nobody's like, I don't know, this produce section, it's feeling a little salesy to me. Like,
what are all these price tags on all of this food?
Everything is for sale. It's a little much, Whole Foods. Like, nobody ever says that. But for some reason, for those of us who are on social media, there's this like odd feeling that we're not allowed to sell all the time, or we're selling too much, or it's like too overwhelming.
You gotta believe that. Like, I love Whole Foods. Like, I love going to Whole Foods every time. It feels like such a treat for me. I don't know why. I love food. I love Whole Foods. And I just love looking at everything that's on sale, even if I'm not gonna buy it. And I'm sure, Erica, you have, even if you don't love Whole Foods, you have a store where you just love going to that store to look at everything on sale, even if you're not gonna buy everything. And I think like you have to just decide that you are somebody's favorite store and they just like hanging out in your store and looking at all the stuff that's on sale, even if they're not necessarily going to buy that day. They're not offended that you're selling. They're like, no, I like that you're selling it. I love all of this stuff. I love your store. I want to keep hanging out in your store. And for God's sake, let them.
Right. Oh my gosh. I love that analogy so much and I might steal it. Just
total
warning.
Permission. What's your favorite store that you just like hanging out in?
I have to say, if I had to pick one, my favorite store is probably Marshall's.
Oh my God, Marshall's is so fun.
I love Marshall's. It just has like a little bit of everything. It has the home stuff. It has the fashion stuff, the beauty stuff. They have like bomb shoes sometimes. And one of my favorite places in Marshall's is that long, windy line you have to go through when you're paying for something.
Oh, is it all these like tchotchkes and knickknacks? Yes. Totally. You got to trust that you are somebody's Marshalls.
Marshalls,
yes. If you're a little more higher end, I don't know, you're somebody's Prada and they just like browsing. Let them browse. And wouldn't it be weird if you went into your favorite shop and they were like, oh yeah, nothing's actually for sale. It's like, we hope you don't mind. Like, you know, no, we want you to sell.
Right. Or three quarters of the store is full. Like, we didn't want to overwhelm you. So
yeah,
we left
the crazy.
Whole section empty.
No, we want to see a store full of things that we can buy. We love buying.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so much so that we want to look at things we want to buy even when we're on in the checkout line.
Exactly.
I love that's a genius metaphor. Okay, I could just keep going on and on and on, but we have to end this at some point. So this has been like so amazingly packed with like actionable insights. And are there any last words of wisdom for new coaches or even old coaches who want to kill it at Instagram and they're not yet?
Well, I think the last thing I would say is I really try and encourage people, and I do this myself, to look at your time spent on Instagram as an investment. Mm. I get that every time you post and every time you show up on stories, it would be amazing if somebody DM'd you and was like, hey, can I send you $10,000?
If only.
That is fantastic. However, much like with investing your money, you don't buy a stock on Monday and then on Tuesday, you're making an offer on your vacation house in Aspen. Totally. Like, that's just not how it works. And so if you can just remember that even at those moments where it seems like nobody's listening and it seems like nobody's engaging, that's not actually true. I know you've had the experience of being on Instagram and seeing something that was fantastic or reading something and you just don't comment on it at that moment.
Totally.
But maybe you come back next week and you do it. Your time there is not a waste. You are investing in your community, you're investing in your business, and you're going to have to keep doing that in a way that does not always produce an immediate result. But the more you do it and the more consistent you are with it and the more serious you are about it and the more that you just commit to offering value and offering that actionable advice and really showing up in a way that helps your community move forward, there's just no way it's not going to work.
I love it. That's so clear. I always say, assume that there are like 10 times more interested and appreciative lurkers than you think there are.
Yeah.
Like just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there.
Exactly.
And just like any other kind of investment, what you put into it, it compounds over time. So give it enough love for it to do some compounding.
Yes. Exactly. And for me, the compounding is money in my pocket, not the number of likes that my post gets.
Totally. Yes.
I want dollars, not followers.
Yes. And why is it worth it to invest in Instagram, invest your time in Instagram? If you ask me, it's because there's human beings there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere there are human beings, it's worth you investing your time. You might have a different take on it, but for me, Instagram is an amazing, fun place to be. It's not, doesn't have some kind of like unique magic that other places don't have. It's just a place with lots of people that you can help. It's just a place with lots of human beings who would love to buy from you. And you just have to let them know and show up.
Yes. Yeah. Co-signed.
Awesome. Oh my God. It's like talking to my twin. I love it. Erica, what do you have going on that people can, check out and, download, buy, whatever?
Yeah. Well, I would love for you to come follow me over on Instagram. It's just my name, Erica Reitman, and I always am sharing some good stuff over there. I have a new program called Instagram Coach Camp. We're just kicking off our first iteration of that. And it's great if you want to sign up. I do trainings all the time, and I have this new thing I'm doing called My Vault, which you can also link to on my profile and sign up. And there's all sorts of stuff in there, lots of Instagram stuff, some fun stuff like on my signature drinks that I drink every day at home. You might see my dogs, my basset hounds, but it's just kind of a place for me to put all of the stuff that I share all the time that kind of sometimes gets lost on Instagram. That's one of the downsides to Instagram, but I'm keeping it all in my coach training vault.
I love it. Erica is just has so much integrity. She's so brilliant. She's so funny. I like co-sign everything she's teaching, not that she needs it. So go check her out, hang out with her, and I hope you'll take advantage of her offerings. And thank you, Erica, so much for being here. And I hope to, I'm hoping for continued conversations in the future.
Yes. Thank you so much. I've had so much hanging out with you and getting to know your community a bit.
Yay.
Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that, link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time. If you just call